KJAN Sports.
Time for Jacob Sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. The Iowa State women led a four-point lead late, slip away in a 65-60 loss to Georgia in the second round of the women's NCAA basketball tournament last night. Not known for their perimeter shooting, Georgia made 12 three-pointers in that game.
It was kind of a gamble we had to take. We know that they had some really good post players on the inside. We were just trying to play from the inside out, and they hit big shots when they needed to.
That's Hallie Christofferson, who finished with a dozen points for the Cyclones, who were led by Anna Prinz, who had 23. ISU coach Bill Fennelly says Georgia's three-point shooting was the difference.
That's why they're a great team. They had kids step up and make shots. And you know, for us, Brynn and Kidd are two really good three-point shooters, and they go 1-for-10. So, that's the tournament. That's what drives you crazy, and that makes this March Madness for a reason. But our kids played really, really hard.
Iowa State trailed by 14 points midway through the second half before staging a furious rally and eventually led by four with about 2 minutes left.
You know, they make, again, a couple big shots at big times, and, it's one play here or there. There's so many things that happen in a game like that, but very proud of our kids' effort. It was a great year. Certainly, it's always hard to end it. It's going to end sometime, but certainly if it ends in a game where your kids gave their best effort, then you can't complain.
The Cyclones end the season with a record of 24-9. Elsewhere in women's NCAA tournament play last night, Kamiko Williams scored 15 points, and Tennessee pulled away in the second half to beat Creighton 68-52, advancing to the Oklahoma regional semifinals of the tournament. The second-seeded Lady Vols, who are 52-0 in NCAA tournament games on their home floor, will play Oklahoma on Sunday. Tennessee is the only program to play in all 32 women's NCAA tournaments. The lone time the Lady Vols fell short of the regional semifinals came when they lost 71-55 to Bowling Green in a 2009 first-round game. Creighton couldn't cut the margin below 9 points in the second half after they were down just four, and Tennessee went on a 13-0 run as Creighton ends their season with a mark of 25-8. Well, Jordan Hooper scored 21 points, and Lindsey Moore had 20 points and 10 assists to help Nebraska to a 74-63 win over Texas A&M last night in the second round of the NCAA tournament. The sixth-seeded Cornhuskers used two big runs in the first half to build that lead and never trailed in the second half to earn their first trip to the round of 16 since 2010. Nebraska will face the winner of Tuesday night's game between second-seeded Duke and number 7 Oklahoma State as the Cornhuskers improved to 25-8 on the season. In other second-round women's NCAA tournament play last night, Maryland beat Michigan State 74-49. It was Kansas over South Carolina 75-69. Oklahoma topping UCLA 85-72. UConn beat Vanderbilt 77-44. California needed overtime to beat South Florida 82-78. Notre Dame's draw is arguably the worst among the top seeds in the NCAA tournament. Notre Dame was shipped off to Iowa City instead of playing at home like Baylor, Stanford, and Connecticut. Tonight they'll face ninth-seeded Iowa in the second round in front of a hostile crowd of as many as 10,000 people. Now, this would be a much bigger problem if the Fighting Irish weren't so good on the road. Notre Dame will put its perfect road record on the line against the Hawkeyes tonight. The Fighting Irish have won at Connecticut, Tennessee, and everywhere else in this remarkable season, and they're confident they can do the same tonight at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Iowa's 21-12 coming in. Notre Dame has a 32-1 mark. We'll have that game for you live tonight here on KJAN. Pregame coverage getting underway at 8:15. Tip time set for 8:30 from Iowa City. In men's college basketball postseason play last night in the CBI tournament quarterfinals, it was Wright State defeating Richmond 57-51. Santa Clara beat Purdue 86-83. A couple of overtime games saw George Mason beat Houston 88-84 and Western Michigan topping Wyoming 75-67. One second-round game last night in the CIT tournament. It was Oral Roberts advancing with a 76-62 win over UC Irvine. Also in NIT men's play last night in second-round action, Providence knocked off Robert Morris 77-68, BYU over Mercer 90-71, and Southern Miss a winner over Louisiana Tech 63-52. Well, the Iowa Hawkeyes will visit Virginia Wednesday night in the quarterfinal round of the NIT. The Cavaliers are 23-11, and Hawkeye coach Fran McCaffrey says that's a team that should have been in the NCAA tournament.
I'm not a guy who looks at numbers as much as trusting my two eyeballs. When I watch Virginia play, that's an NCAA tournament team. And I have watched not as much maybe as some people because I'm busy getting ready for my own team's games, but I've watched NCAA games. Virginia's an NCAA tournament team. That's what they are. And I think they proved that throughout the course of the year. But it's a changing environment. We felt like we had a great case to be in. But you can only deal with what hand you're dealt.
McCaffrey says both teams feel like they made a good case for the NCAA tournament.
It just goes to show you that, you know, how everybody talks about the state of college basketball. What you have is, I think you've got a little more parity. You've got a lot more really good teams. And for every team that's allowed in, there's somebody good that wasn't allowed in, and you could make a case either way. So you can't complain about it. You just have to enjoy the opportunity to play in the NIT, keep working hard, and try to get in next year and try to get better.
McCaffrey says junior Roy Devin Marble will remain at point guard in Wednesday night's game. Marble has been handling the point since freshman Mike Gasell suffered a foot injury. Gasell played 19 minutes in Friday's victory over Stony Brook.
I would feel comfortable increasing his minutes if we felt like it was necessary. You know, I think in a perfect world, we'd leave him right around there. But, I mean, if we're in a situation where the game went into double overtime or something like that, I wouldn't be opposed to playing him 30 minutes or more.
The Hawks are 23-12, and with a victory Wednesday, they would advance to the NIT semifinals in New York's Madison Square Garden. We'll have that game for you Wednesday night here on KJA. An early start time, 5 o'clock, is pregame tomorrow night with 6 o'clock scheduled for tip time. In other college basketball news, Tubby Smith is out as head basketball coach at Minnesota. He was let go less than 24 hours after the Gophers lost to Florida in the NCAA tournament. Smith held the job for 6 years and had a record of 124-81 overall, with a Big Ten mark of 46-62. Smith got the Gophers to the NCAA tournament 3 times and had 5 20-win seasons. Minnesota finished this season with a record of 21-13 after losing 11 of its last 16 games before starting play in the Big Ten tournament. Well, South Alabama's hired Butler associate head coach Matthew Graves as its head basketball coach, hoping to duplicate some of the NCAA tournament magic that the program has enjoyed in recent years. Graves will replace Ronnie Arrow, who retired 10 games into the season as the winningest coach for both the Mobile School and the Sun Belt Conference. Associate head coach Jeff Price served as the interim coach for the rest of the season. The Jaguars finished with a 17-13 mark this year. George Mason is paying an exit fee of $1 million to leave the Colonial Athletic Association for the Atlantic 10. The departure of the Patriots leaves the CAA with just 9 members. GMU is leaving for the A-10 as of July 1st, so the CAA has ruled that the school's 7 spring sports teams will be ineligible for conference championships. 2 of Mason's regional rivals, Virginia Commonwealth and Richmond, previously departed the CAA for the A-10. The switch also set up a Subway Conference rivalry with nearby George Washington. In the NBA last night, it was Indiana beating Atlanta 100-94, Washington down Memphis 107-94, Miami beat Orlando 108-94, New Orleans topping Denver 110-86, Utah beat Philadelphia 107-91, and Golden State outscored the LA Lakers 109-103. In the National Hockey League last night, Boston beat Toronto in a shootout 3-2. Ottawa also a shootout winner 3-2 over New Jersey. Nashville beat Edmonton 3-2. Los Angeles outscored Chicago 5-4. It was Minnesota 7-4 over Dallas. Detroit beat Phoenix 3-2, and San Jose topping Anaheim 5-3. In racing news, Denny Hamlin suffered a compression fracture in his lower back during a last lap crash in Sunday's NASCAR Sprint Cup race at Fontana, California. Joe Gibbs Racing disclosed the injury and said that Hamlin was expected to be released soon from a Southern California hospital to return home. There was no immediate word on how long his recovery would take. Hamlin was hurt during a crash with Joey Logano at the end of Sunday's race. In golf, Tiger Woods is the world's number one golfer again after completing another victory at Bay Hill. Woods captured the weather-delayed Arnold Palmer Invitational Monday, closing with a 2-under-par 70 for a 13-under total. Justin Rose was 2 shots back and 3 ahead of 4 others. Woods tied a 48-year-old PGA Tour record by winning the same event for the 8th time. It's also his 8th victory at Bay Hill, including a U.S. Open. That victory puts him back at the top of the world rankings for the first time since October of 2010. Woods has 77 PGA Tour victories. That's 5 behind Sam Snead's record. Next up is the Masters in 2 weeks, when Woods will try to end his 5-year drought in major events. In baseball news, Kyle Loesch has found a new team after going 16-3 with a .286 earned run average for the St. Louis Cardinals last season. A person familiar with the deal tells the Associated Press that Loesch and the Milwaukee Brewers have reached agreement on a 3-year contract worth $33 million. He's 118-109 lifetime with a 4.45 ERA in 12 seasons with Minnesota, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, and St. Louis. Also in baseball, Scott Kazmir will open the season as Cleveland's fifth starter after not pitching in the majors for 2 years. Kazmir's comeback took him to the independent Atlantic League last season. The two-time All-Star with Tampa Bay outpitched a group in training camp that included Daisuke Matsuzaka. Edinson Volquez will be San Diego's opening day pitcher against the New York Mets next Monday. This will be the third straight year that Volquez has started an opener. And Toronto third baseman Brett Lowry will start the regular season on the disabled list because of a strained rib. Lowry felt discomfort in his left side during an exhibition game with Canada's World Baseball Classic team against the Cincinnati Reds on March 6th. That's Czech Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.